These are our solemn moments. I almost feel like it's intrusive to keep on speaking. They're God moments. I really count it a privilege to be able to share these special moments with you. I count it an extra privilege to consider that probably most of you have no idea, but Dwight's family has been a family friend of ours for as long as I can probably remember. And so it's special to be here, Dwight. Let's turn to the Word of God again tonight. If you're not already in 1 Peter, I invite you to 1 Peter chapter 4. I trust you're not tiring of this scripture. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 through 11. Let's again stand as we read this. Let's do responsive reading again. I'll read the first verse and you do the second. I'll read the 11th verse. Verse 7, 1 Peter 4, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Use hospitality one to another without grudging.
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You may be seated. Again, the four things I'd like for us to remember, not only for this weekend, but as you face the future of the church here. Remember that every one of you has a part in building the kingdom of God. All of us have a calling. Secondly, let's remember that it's important that we exercise that calling and those gifts in love. Number three, that we bear each other up in prayer. And number four, that God gets all the glory. It's really his church. It's really all about him. It really is. This last address here tonight, I'd like to have us think about taking up the mantle. First evening, we looked at how Elijah passed it on to Elisha. They walked together for a number of years, and then it came time for Elijah to pass off the scene. I invite you to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm not going to be reading all of this, but some of it. Verse 1, "It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they went down to Bethel. And same thing happened again. The Lord called him and said, Go over to Jericho. Stay here, I'm going to Jericho. Elisha said, I'm going with you. So they went to Jericho. There the sons of the prophets, each time the sons of the prophets came out and said, Do you know your master is going to heaven today? And Elisha said, I know it, just be quiet about it. I don't want to think about it. Again, the Lord said, Go on, go towards Jordan. And here again, they come to the river Jordan, verse 7, there were sons of the prophets there, and they stood watching this afar off. And Elijah and Elisha stood by Jordan. I'm going to pick up reading again, verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went up on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now they knew that the time was getting close. Elijah said, what would you want as a last request? What is it that I could leave behind? Elisha answered wisely, double portion of your spirit to be upon me. Elijah replies in verse 10, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it won't be so. And as it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. Did you catch that? He saw it. It's going to happen. He saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. We'll stop reading there. As the two were walking along and talking, the chariot of fire and horsemen came and just split them apart. As Elijah was leaving, the mantle fell back. It fell down to the ground. What does it say that Elisha did? What did he do? He took it up. He picked it up. I wonder how he did it. Did he grab for it? Was he a little hesitant? I don't know. Doesn't tell us, but it says he picked it up. Tonight, as we think about taking up the mantle, the first point I'd like to make is that you are to pick it up. Dwight, the mantle's been dropped in some ways. It's being passed on, okay, in this case. But you are to pick it up. God wants you to take a hold of the mantle. He wants you to take it. The church, I think the church here at Center feels the same way. They want you to pick up this mantle. They want you to serve with this calling, with the help of God. Now, what did Elisha do when he picked up this mantle? What was it that he did with it? Smote the waters, right? And what did he say? Where is the God of Elijah? Wasn't this his first test? I don't know how he said it. I can imagine him saying, where is the God of Elijah? Where are you? Where was he? Exactly right. He was right there. That's the first point in taking up the mantle. Take it up in the power of God. God is right there. Don't take it up in your own strength. Depend upon God daily. Depend on His Holy Spirit to give you direction, to give you guidance. When you're making decisions, depend on God and the Holy Spirit. When you're chairing those difficult meetings, depend on God. God is right there. He's faithful too. He never will let you down. Take it up in the power of God. You know, the same God I was able to divide those waters of Jordan, and that's an incredible miracle, isn't it? Twice the waters went, they parted and they walked across. That same power is available in our lives today, and especially for leaders. It's the power of God that will make you effective. So take up, first of all, the mantle and the power of God. I have six ways to take up the mantle here tonight. I don't want to keep you long. The first one is do it in the power of God. Secondly, take it up with excellence. Now, I know you might be saying I'm talking out of both corners of my mouth. Take it up with excellence. Do your very best. Do what you can to be the best leader possible. 2 Timothy 1:6 tells us, I don't have that memorized or written down, but it's 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up that gift. That means to keep it afresh, to keep kindling it, to keep exercising it, to use it. You know, we can become sort of lazy. Remember in that scripture in 1 Peter 4, where it tells us that if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. It's God that gives us those abilities, but he's expecting us to make the very best of them that we absolutely can. So tonight, as you're picking up this mantle, be determined with God's help and with God's grace that you're going to do your very best with it. And by now, you're going to be expecting a few practical applications for that. Let me just suggest a few. How that we can do our best. Number one, be disciplined in your study habits. Takes discipline. I don't always have that. Be disciplined in your study habits. You really need to start preparing for Sunday's message way before Saturday afternoon. Sometimes it happens. Secondly, attend an occasional seminar or Bible school to broaden your world. Oh, those are great ways to learn. Number three, read a good book on leadership or shepherding or preaching at least once a year. I like to do that. I don't know if I always get it done every year, but those are ways that we can take it up with excellence. Number four, I'm not sure if I should even say this one, but I'm going to just put it out there. Learn a new language. I know that's maybe a little stretching us a bit. Do you get the idea? Do your very best. Put your energy and your effort into whatever God's calling is upon your life. Not only for you, Dwight, here, but for each one of us. Do your very best. Take up your mantle with excellence. Now, lest you get too excited about that, the third way to take it up is with humility. Pick it up with humility. I'm going to read a few verses from 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. This passage here is addressing leaders particularly. So he's talking to us. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God resists the proud. He doesn't want a proud leader. He doesn't want that thinks he knows it all. He won't use proud leaders very long. Now, I think we're human enough to probably admit that most all of us will struggle with this sometimes to some degree. It's just we're made that way. But remember, as we heard tonight, it's not about us. It's about the church of Jesus Christ and bring glory to God. You know, we really are called to be servant leaders. That's what we're called to do. And you know what? The true test of a servant is how we respond when we're treated like one. Do you know what? When men humble themselves, God moves. God moves. There's many examples in Scripture. By the way, you have an exciting Sunday school lesson coming up here in a few weeks. Looking at the most wicked king in the history of Israel. In a few chapters from now, you'll find Elijah having a little chat with him in the late Naboth's vineyard. He told him, Elijah told Ahab, God's wrath is going to be upon you. You know what Ahab did? He rent his clothes, he fasted, and it says he went about softly. He humbled himself, and it says then that God said because he humbled himself, these things aren't going to happen in his generation. Talk about the power of humility. So take the mantle with humility. What really is humility? Just putting oneself down. It's not necessarily just self-abasement. True humility is a proper view of who God is, and then an acceptance of who we are in light of who God is. Again, just a few practical ways to cultivate humility. Just recently, I heard someone give 12 ways to cultivate humility. Let me share just a few. First of all, listen to others instead of always talking about yourself. Admit when you fail. Admit it. Express gratefulness. Cultivates humility. Here's one that I like the best, although it maybe hurts the most. Deflect praise. Deflect praise. So much for picking it up with humility. Number 4, pick it up with joy. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Again, he's talking to leaders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Reads like this. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy. Not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I think I might need some help with this one. But don't you just admire a leader who can lead with joy in his heart and with a smile on his face? Now, this doesn't mean that he's just always jumping up and down and he's just overflowing with expressions of delight. Actually, the word joy means calm delight. It's calm delight. Joy comes by realizing that we have Jesus in our heart. That's what brings us joy. And so remember, as you're picking up this mantle and you're doing it with joy, you can do it with joy because you have Jesus in your heart and because Jesus is on your side. It doesn't matter what difficulties come. At the moment, they may seem unpleasant and we might not be able to smile. But if we have Jesus in our hearts, there'll be joy. And you can take the mantle with joy. Number five. I find this one in Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 28. This one may be just a bit unusual. This one comes from the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after him. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Take up the mantle with heart. Did you catch that last phrase in verse 31? Paul said, I'm burdened. I'm burdened with the care of the flock. Not only when I'm awake, but when I'm in bed. Day and night, I care about you. Embrace the mantle with heart. He said he actually cried for them. He cared so much, he had tears. Men, leaders, it's okay to cry. There's a place for tears. Now, listen, hear me carefully. I'm not saying that we're to wear this mantle on the edge of our shirt sleeve of emotions. It's not what I'm saying. But somehow I feel like I was going to say we, but I don't want to include you. Maybe you're not there. But somehow, sometimes I don't know, is it because we get weary? I get weary that sometimes my care just isn't what it should be. I care, and yet, maybe it's because of the human element. I just lack the energy to really care like I know I should. Paul cared so much. He was willing to cry for the church. You may have heard this little quote. People don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. How do we cultivate a heart for others? Again, just getting a little practical. How do we develop and cultivate a heart of care for others? There's an interesting verse in the Old Testament. It's found in Ezekiel 3:15. It reads like this, and I know I'm just sort of pulling it out. Then I came to them of the captivity of Telabib that dwelt by the river of Shebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Doesn't a heart for others come when we get down on their level? When we're willing to to put ourselves where they are, to sit where they sit, to struggle with them, to cry when they cry. You know what? This kind of heart for others, I believe, comes when we just simply allow the love of God to fill our own hearts first, and then that love will flow out in caring for others. So, as you pick up the mantle, do it with heart. Do it with care for the church. Lastly, and number 6, is wear the mantle to bring glory to God. That's what it's all about. Our theme passage in 1 Peter 4, that verse 11, that last part of the verse, where it says that we are to bring praise to God through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God deserves all the glory. Do we believe that? Believe that? I think we do. Why then can it be so easy to try and take a little bit to ourselves? We could excuse it with we're being human. We are. My encouragement is, don't bend that low. Keep giving God the glory. Reflect it to Him. Just direct it right back to God. Any glory that comes from your mantle is not for you, it's for God. This is convicting for me. How do we do that? How do we bring glory to God? I think we bring glory to God when we embrace the mantle that God has placed on each one of our lives. Do it in His power. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it with humility. Take it up with joy. Do it with heart. And then simply give God all the glory, for He alone is worthy. And I guess as I close here, that's my encouragement to you as a church here at Center. Just keep on faithfully serving Him. Whatever capacity God has called you, whatever mantle He's placed on your life, just be faithful in serving Him. And Dwight, may you especially experience the power of God in a real way every day as you pick up this new mantle, the mantle of leadership here at Center Church. And Brother David, words fail me. May God continue to just bless you and use you in so many ways that maybe you haven't even thought of yet. And may your life and testimony just continue to reach out and bless each one of you, one that comes in contact with you. It's my blessing on you. And for the church here, may God's smile, may God's favor simply rest on each one of you. I should have said this before we began this address, but I'd like to hear as we just close, I just want to express my appreciation for your warm hospitality, your warm welcome, the meals that you provided, and special thanks for David for providing a wonderful little place for us to stay there. And again, just God, may God richly just bless all of you in a very special way. Turn the time back to Dave.